These first human hybrids were named by their custodians the Aoadamua. While strongly melanated people may be the original Earthlings, nonetheless, extremely few of them have pure Earthling heritage. The various races of our ancestors largely interbred through time, but we must also consider the fact that Earth was visited on several occasions during the course of its history, by different extraterrestrial races who also tempered with our genetics. So at the end of the day, in various percentages and except a few utterly remote folks, we are all alien hybrids on this planet. However, some specific bloodlines carrying strong extraterrestrial genes became the best candidates for exotic interbreeding, for both positive and regressive off-worlders. Blood types also come into the equation, as the identifying key for the different extraterrestrial genetics. DNA has its own frequency codes, which are detectable. For instance, the blood type O was brought by the Anunnaki, who were a reptiloid gray race, although human-looking, and the protein, RHD, was added for interbreeding compatibility with other species. I developed these points in further details in my first book AE A Gift from the Stars. So knowing that a genetic signature generates precise frequency codes, you only need to have an appropriate survey scanner to measure it. I saw one of these devices on board a ship of the Council of Five. I was shown a discoidal keyboard set on a pedestal facing a translucent wall. It is required to have the right DNA signature to activate anything on board that ship, and it was also worth for Thorhan who accompanied me. Funnily, and this made me vainglorious in front of Thorhan, as my actual body has Igaroth DNA but Thorhan a TMS does not. Anax laid his hand on the central half dome on the device, and it instantly glowed ruby red. The wall in front of us transformed into a screen displaying a holographic map of planet Earth. Anax pressed some keys on the disk, explaining to me at the same time that he was selecting different blood types. Depending what blood type was selected, multicolored clouds of dots appeared on the map. The precision could go very far in researching the exact percentages for genetic match. Once a compatible bloodline was identified, they could awaken its potential by activating some specific strands of its DNA, and as well enhance it by increasing the extraterrestrial genetic input. These operations of course require a series of abductions, which are not traumatic or harmful in any way. It is all done with the greatest respect. The reason why it is the Council of Five and not the Galactic Federation of Worlds who conducts the practical aspect of this program, can be explained as such. In order to avoid any trauma for the subject, the abduction needs to happen in an unconscious state. And this is when the Galactic Federation of Worlds cannot go further on this territory, because of the Prime Directive and the Law of Consent. As I explained, the Council of Five has more freedom regarding by the Prime Directive. When the vessel is ready, the extraterrestrial soul can then incarnate safely. This is exactly what happens to me and the highly activated bloodline I incarnated into and borrowed for this lifetime. My personal story is here to testify. More and more, Envoy children can recall a night school sir on board alien crafts, where they are taught by beings whose identification matches very closely with the member races of the Council of Five. We may honor this colossal and amazing work, performed by loving and amazing beings. Message from Anax, Jan 24, 2022. Anax, one of the Five. Dear people of Terra. I am Anax from the Council of Five, speaking for the Igaroth culture of Zagara and Duro. I am speaking to you 2,000 light-years away from your planet. Our culture is one of the most ancient cultures of the Uru and Nazone. We have seen worlds rise and worlds fall. We have been helping oppressed cultures in several wars, bringing back balance, and also assisted many cultures in their evolutionary path. My way of thinking is different from your way of thinking. I was born a very long time ago regarding your linear time, but to me, time is a bubble where all moments are equidistant from eternity. I am one of the Five, representing the Igaroth culture. Our genetics is very close to human genetics, although we are a species of our own, unique. We are not part of the Greys, as you name them by their color, but we share a common ancestor. We are not based on a hive consciousness, but on individual consciousnesses. We are like you, a little farther in the future, considering linear time. You need to stop thinking in terms of linearity. Linearity is a sentient perspective due to the imprint of gravity on the fabric of space-time. You are awakening to the perspective that time is not what you were told it is. Time and space are interrelated and interacting with each other. No beginning and no end exist outside of the linear sentient perspective. Open your mind. Crack open the shield of distorting illusions. Sliding in between the particles of the fabric of space-time, your consciousness can pass through portals, travel as far and as fast as you want. The impulse is intention. Aodama focus. You are discovering who you really are, after eons of sleep. Those who maintained you drugged with ignorance, binding your mind by fear to gain blind obedience, are gone. As a result of temporal wars, there still remains cracks in the fabric of space-time that need to be closed. This process is in the making. Look up now and see. Can you see us? Open your mind wider, and your heart as well. We are here. We have always been here, watching over you. Things are not as binary and simple as you were educated into believing they are. The universe is not just about mean beings harming gentle beings. You were presented things as such. It is in truth about balance. You need to meditate this word, balance. The Galactic Federation of Worlds is at work to maintain balance in Natru, our galaxy. Balance works in favor of evolution. Balance is the true justice. And so do we as well, at the Council of Five, and so does the Intergalactic Confederation and of course, the Nine. The Nine are not the former Council of Nine that existed long before the Council of Five. These are two very different structures, not related to each other. Although, the Nine are related to everything. The Nine are a collective of the highest awareness. They exist in a place of no existence, the void. The former Council of Nine from Uruana, that you call Orion, was formed a few hundred thousands of your linear years ago, in the purpose to protect the local cultures of the Orion Zone against the growing power of the Nebu Empire. We came from many different places in this galaxy, to offer to these threatened cultures of Orion a structure they could relate to ask for help and support. Our military power wasn't EMT the best, so we encouraged these cultures to form a rebel alliance against the Nebu Empire, and this rebel alliance was named, the Black League. The wars were fierce and the fighters from the Black League were brave. They organized themselves as a formidable army, gathering under a common motivation, freedom, sovereignty. These wars resulted in a lot of damages. Several cultures were enslaved or obliterated, although some managed to survive by shifting technologically into a higher density, out of range from the Nebu. Shortly after these events, the Galactic Federation of Worlds came into existence, in the idea of creating a structure that would work at preserving peace. All cultures member of this Galactic Federation would unite together and as one, and become stronger against the Nebu and other troublemakers. The Council of Nine of Orion had taken many hits. We were now remaining only five members, five elder cultures. The Orela, the Igaroth, the Jinvo, the Ridden and the Imather. From that day, we vowed to continue our work. We are actually in the process of helping several cultures in Nataru and Taru is one of them. We are not under the jurisdiction of the Galactic Federation of Worlds, but we live by the ethical and spiritual principles upon which these laws are based. Free will, balance, justice, evolution. See, as you understand, we are not the Nine. We are a whole different structure. The Nine are non-avatar plasmic supraconsciousnesses. We are just physical, incarnated people. Our work on Terra started a long time ago when seen from your linear perspective. As you know, we are not subjected to the same perception of time. We have been preparing humans of Terra for the present events, for the Great Awakening, working on specific chosen bloodlines, activating and enhancing their genetic codes, that in time, these avatar bodies, these incredible, unique vessels, would be able to withstand the embodiment of souls of higher frequencies. We prepared the human races of Terra for the Envoy program. Hundreds of thousands of beings from all over this galaxy, who decided to enroll for this formidable work. The liberation of Terra. They all knew that incarnating into a much lower density would block their memories, so before awakening the Terran people, they had first to wake themselves up, and for doing so, they chose specific challenging paths of experience. Now, the frequencies are in the process of shifting on Terra, and the new waves of envoys are coming with their memory active and complete. The dense artificial matrix was deactivated last year. The device on Luna, Terra TMS Moon, was taken by the Galactic Federation of Worlds and dismantled, and so was its relay to the Orion Hive Queen on the planet you call Saturn. Your star system is liberated. It is up to the Terrans now to stand as sovereign beings on their world. A tremendous lot of events are happening in space, in your star system. Alliances are being made between the country states of Terra. The Terran space fleet is real, it is alive, and working actively on rebuilding the sovereignty of the cultures of Sol. Your star system. The veils of illusions, ignorance and conditioning are dissipating on Terra, and in the middle of the confusion, you start to understand that those you thought were corrupted, are now working with the Alliance of Light, and those you thought were your leaders reveal their attachment to the Nepu Hive and the Chukar Empire. You followed shadows and impersonators. The insider shadow programmings are now coming at the surface of your perceptions, in plain sight, into bright light. Don't you be confused, humans of Terra, for all that brings confusion above peace, comes from the old programmings. You see, our common enemy possesses also time-looking devices. When the timeline war stabilized in our favor, they decided to install programmings, poisoned gifts for humanity, that the day when they would depart, the enemy would leave after them a trail of destruction. Most of these programmed humans are only victims, who have for agenda to reappropriate the truth and alter it, in order to spread confusion. Beware of those speak on my behalf. To prevent confusion, I decided for undetermined time to communicate only with Elena. Despite all these traps, positive contacts are happening more and more, as each envoy reactivates the personal link to their galactic group. This is real contact. Unfortunately, these programmings have spread already a considerable amount of confusion. Any other person coming forward, pretending speaking on behalf of publicly known emissaries such as myself, High Commander Ardeana, Commanders Valnik and Thorhan, are either manipulated or either manipulators. They have an agenda, corrupting the hard work of the Galactic Federation of Worlds and alter it, in order to destroy those who work hard and sacrifice a lot in this war. This also it goes for people speaking on behalf of so-called Aelutsa or A.S. Spiritual Mastersa. From Earth or from other worlds. The Enlightened Ones have spoken for themselves already. All of them never wanted you to bow, but to stand up and rise. Those speaking with Shadow Tongue are not envoys but dark insiders. The true contacts with high beings are through your higher self, only conduit to your personal galactic group. Do not seek them outwards, for it is very dangerous out there still. Seek contact with your galactic group within yourself, connecting to your soul. There, are the connections. Stop following. Lead, instead. Don't you TMT lower yourself before any throne. Instead, step up and sit on the throne. You are royalty. Open your eyes. Confusion comes from the enemy. Truth is found in the peace within. More dark insiders will reveal. Know how to recognize them. They will tell you that hope is dead, that you must bend and kneel to new masters and lords, that you must welcome the enemy back, that the enemy has changed. The enemy has not TMT changed. They just changed their clothes. Inside, it is always the same enemy. Deceptive. Charming. Tremendously charming. Do not fall for it again. The Imithers, on behalf of the Council of Five, warned you. Now, I, Anax of the Five, am warning you, the free will remains in your power. You have all powers to welcome the enemy back in, or to cast it away once and for all, forever and always. You have learned your lessons. Now, people of Terra, fly towards your destiny. It is a beautiful one. You are a unique blend of many gifts, from this galaxy and beyond. By embracing this awareness, you reactivate all these gifts in your blood. Your blood is one of the most sacred substance in this galaxy, and much prized by the enemy. Because they know, that this blood, that runs in these very seconds in your veins, carries the greatest powers of all. Royalty. These bodies are interdimensional. They are portals. Their DNA can activate all the stargates of the universe. They are the most hunted treasure in this galaxy. Yes, I am talking about you, reading this. Embrace who you are. Stop following. For now has come the time. The time for you to lead. Dharma Manax. Galactic Council's Alnilam. Although the siege of the Council of Five is officially located in the Alnilam star system, named locally Zygara, it is in truth not exactly, physically there. It is a common procedure among evolved cultures to reach a certain level of technology to attend councils and meetings by means of quantum holographic projection. In a galaxy roamed by powerful aggressive empires, holding physical councils with all major representatives in one place would be unreasonable. The siege of the Council of Five on Zygara can be destroyed, the planet even blown up to dust. The council wouldn't EMT be affected in the slightest way. I once saw Anax attend a meeting by holographic projection from a special seat in his ship. It wasn't EMT, a regular pilot seat, it was different. It was set on a discoidal golden metallic pedestal, there weren't EMT any high-tech buttons on the sides, and the back and armrests were made of a translucent material. As Anax leaned forward to talk to me, I could notice a row of flat multicolored crystals embedded in the back of the seat. Two flat hexagonal crystal patches were set at the extremity of the armrests, the same as on a command pilot seat, confirming to me that DNA signature entered into the equation. The Galactic Federation of Worlds has not EMT either any fixed headquarters, but instead different locations where they can decide to meet using this remote holographic technology. The locations from which they will broadcast their holographic images are chosen at the last moment. Which doesn't EMT matter anyway, as the members don't EMT attend physically. I witnessed such a meeting once, taking place on the battleship on which Thorhan is assigned. I wasn't EMT invited, of course, but just allowed instead to have a quick look before the participants started their meeting. It was in November 2021 as I can remember, because I had just said goodbye to my friend Valnik, who was reassigned to another star system, and I had no idea of when I would see him again. My heart was heavy, as Valnik was brilliant in his work as a commander with the Earth Alliance and he loved it. It matched his personality and dynamic energy. By reason of a deception due to a contact on Earth who was discovered having reptilian programming, Valnik was instantly cut from contact with this person, and reassigned far away from the Sol system to ensure his integrity. I was walking through the corridors of the station with Thorhan and High Commander Adeana, wandering in my thoughts. Thorhan had never been separated from his best friend Valnik, since the time when they arrived in this star system decades ago. Of course, distances mean nothing for them, but well, it was sad, feeling like the end of an era. Walking back from the landing bay, we passed by a circular building with a large opening, showing a bit of the inside. It looked like a conference room. A shimmering bright light coming from it attracted my attention. I slowed down and stopped by. Thorhan and Adeana joined me near the open door in the entrance archway. "A meeting is about to take place," said to me Adeana. "Would you be pleased to have a look?" In a normal occasion, I wouldn't EMT be invited to do so. I understood that she was trying to lighten the atmosphere. "Oh sure," I replied, "I would love to, High Commander." She addressed me a motherly smile and with a gesture of her hand, she invited me to enter the meeting room. Ardeana directed me toward a row of seats on the left, in an alcove near the door. Thorhan and I sat there and waited. Ardeana stood there beside us, with all the presence of her rank and eminence. In the center of the room was an annular table divided by segments and in the middle, a translucent column with light inside and all sorts of devices affixed to it. "What is that?" I whispered to Thorhan, pointing my finger towards it. "The holographic projector," he replied. Before I even had the time to formulate further questions, the devices around the central column lit up, emitting some strange sounds. At my great wonderment, one by one, different beings appeared in holographic form around the table, each facing a segment of the table. I could recognize all of them as being members of races from this galaxy. Nobody was physically there, but they all held a conversation together. The technology they used was unhackable quantum holographic. I understood that day the concept of secured meetings. Thorhan and I left before they started, as Ardeana commanded. I was glad to have had the opportunity to witness such a thing, and it helped me some time later to better understand my visit on Zagara. I haven't at TMT told this story to anyone nor on public media before writing this book. I went to the Alnilam system in the Orion Zone in early February 2022. Anax had been teasing me for a month with this offer, with the purpose of convincing me to slow down my crazy work pace. "When you are rested and fit, I will take you to the siege of the Council of Five on Zagara," Anax promised me. This was quite a motivation. I never physically left the Sol system in this lifetime, so I did my best to pack up my work and finally resolved to get enough sleep, go for a few walks on the beach, and soon I was ready. Anax assured me that I would be brought back only a few minutes after my departure, so there was no need to arrange for my absence. As usual, the appointment is always vaguely set for safety reasons. I am told to book a few hours of my time, during which I can be taken at any moment. When the time comes, I am given a 10-minute warning so that I can prepare. Thorhan proceeds in the same manner. It must be a general rule. The spherical ship of Anax arrived silently, in the middle of the night, above my house. I could feel the statics of the powerful electromagnetic field of the approaching craft. The blanket of clouds was thick and low at the best conditions for a huge Igaroth ship to station in total discretion above the fog, invisible from the ground. I drank a glass of fresh water with lemon and lay down on my bed. Water makes it easier when you are beamed or teleported, as it allows your body to better withstand the transition. You have far less of a chance of feeling sick when you reach your destination. A few drops of lemon helps as well as it slightly ionizes the water. In any case, all craft have accommodations in case you need to pee. As usual, I exchanged with my star father a big hug. I stared into his beautiful indigo eyes that showed the ancient ages of the universe, and I said thank you. "I want to show you where all began," Anax said. "Come and sit here, the journey won't at TMT be long." Anax offered me a large comfortable seat next to his, made with a glowing white smooth material. I took a deep breath and closed my eyes as the light in the room increased very brightly. I felt my whole body pierced by a myriad of tiny needles, a sensation I recognized to be the effect of the interdimensional leap. The craft jumped into hyperspace and all I can remember is losing awareness and waking up as the lights in the cabin dimmed back to normal. How long did the trip last? I couldn't TMT tell if it had been minutes, hours or days. I yawned and stretched my body. When the front screen displayed the view, it left me speechless. The vision of a massive, blue supergiant star took my breath away. I was mesmerized, unable to move, paralyzed with emotion. The star we call Alnilam was surrounded by a molecular cloud that it illuminated with magnificence in hazes of blue. We were floating in a sapphire nebula. I truly couldn't TMT speak a word. "Welcome to Zagara," Anax said. "We are going to this big planet that you see there. It is the mother world of my species, where our elders once lived." What is its name? We name it Zagara 3. Approaching Alnilam. Our vessel approached the brown world marbled with white clouds and purple dots, very similar to Jupiter except that it wasn't TMT a gaseous giant but a solid planet. I could notice two moons, one gray and the other kind of green with yellow areas. Anax lives on in the Mesa star system, far from Alnilam, in an Agaroth colony, but Alnilam, Zagara, is the Agaroth original main world, and the siege of the Council of Five. Then, suddenly, I realized. Father, we are in the center of the Orion Zone, I am impressed how we can be safe. Anax laughed. From Earth, this visually appears to be the center of Eruana, but in truth it isn't a TMT. The center of Eruana is the Nepu Nebula. Well, far from here. Our planets also hide in a higher density that is unreachable to the Nebu. We landed in a strange city, which architecture seemed very old. Ancient buildings made in a pale yellow stone, richly decorated in a style we would call Aobaroque, mingled with futuristic structures of metal and glass, or the like. Anax clipped on me a frequency belt and activated its field by pressing some keys on it. Now you can walk and breathe on Zagara 3. Anax said to me. Yes indeed. The Agaroth Stonia TMT breathe the same air as humans and they always wear their smart suits and frequency belts when on a different environment. I knew this belt would also protect me against the powerful radiations of Alnilam. We left the ship and walked our way down to an avenue that ran below the landing pads. I could see, from below, the top of several spherical spacecrafts parked on the elevated landing strip. At the street level, there was a traffic of silvery ovoid anti-gravity vehicles, and few Agaroth people were walking around. They were dressed in clear or silvery clothes of all shapes and fashion. I didn't TMT see any children. I need to be honest, I was feeling very weird. The luminosity was extremely bright, brighter than on Celo, and it made my eyes water. Glad I didn't TMT wear makeup. The frequency field of my belt was calibrated on a very strong pulse, and so as well my vision was slightly distorted, which was inconvenient for the balance in walking. The sounds were muffled. It felt to me like being inside of an invisible cotton bubble. Approximative drawing of the capital city on Zagara 3, siege of the Council of Five in the background, and the star Alnilam filling the sky. On the right, the Astroport terraces. I had difficulty rendering this drawing, due to the intense luminosity on Zagara 3 preventing a clear and detailed vision. I was trying my best to stay calm as I followed Anax towards a very ancient-looking complex of buildings raised in the center of a large square esplanade. I was told that this was called, in the best translation possible into English, Ao the Meeting Castle, unpronounceable for me in Agaroth. The square baroque building, with its pointed domes and richly sculpted turrets, looked like an alien version of the Taj Mahal, although in bigger proportions and shades of yellow and brown. It probably existed here before this city was built. Ao the Meeting Castle, original siege of the Council of Nine, still in use for holographic meetings of the Council of Five. This building dates from the Orion Wars, drawing reconstitution helped by Anax. The luminosity of the star plus the light frequency of upper density were intense, but crossing through the esplanade, the daylight reflected on the marble-tiled floor blinding me for good. I grabbed Anax's TMS arm to continue. We climbed a series of steps, maybe 6 or 8 I can't TMT remember exactly, and suddenly the atmosphere changed into twilight. I opened my eyes and after a few minutes of adjustment I could see the interior of the building. My frequency shield regulated a constant temperature for me, but I was sure that the air here, in the shade, was colder. The inside was more modern looking than the outside, with pieces of architecture floating by anti-gravity. It was very impressive. As my frequency field adjusted to the lower level of radiations, thanks to the massive protection of the building, I could see clearer and I felt more at ease. It was much darker inside, but rays of light fused from apertures in the domes and the ceilings. I tried to avoid them because I knew that my frequency shield would recalibrate automatically. We walked through majestic halls, each more magnificent than the next, and eventually came to a huge portico with three steps eroded by time.